I know many of you don't get to hear Thoroughly Jewish Thursday on the Line of Fire, so this is a special broadcast, some wonderful testimonies from a dear Israeli brother on this Tuesday, right here on the Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, it is Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, and I'm really excited about today's broadcast. I have a dear friend and co-worker in the studio with me, Israeli, native-born Israeli, lived all of his life except for the last couple of years in Israel, married and raising his family there until moving over to the States. He's got some amazing testimonies, some things that warm my heart when I hear them, And a lot we want to talk to you about. I believe you'll be encouraged as you hear what God is doing among the Jewish people today. If you have a question, any Jewish-related question, but in particular today, any question for an Israeli, think about living in Israel, the spiritual climate in Israel, or anything like that whatsoever, we'll open the phones for some Jewish-related questions today, 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7888. You can post questions on my website, askdrbrown.org. Just click on the Line of Fire. My guest, Ze'ev Nivo, is the president of Israel Media Ministries, Maximizing Jewish Evangelism in Israel and Worldwide. Ze'ev, you were on the air with me a couple years back. Great to have you on the air with me again today.
Thank you. Shalom.
Shalom. That's the one word everybody knows, and they kind of use that word correctly. Ze'ev, just before we talk about how your dad got saved, how you came to faith, how your mom came to faith, some things that God's doing in Israel among the Jewish people today, I just want to talk about war and security issues. News yesterday that Israel bombed Syria, and potential threats now coming against Israel from Iran and Syria today. What was it like growing up in Israel? You spent 36 years there. What was it like with war, threats of war, military service, just being a way of life? Describe it, because it's different here in America.
Yes, I do know American, when they hear the news from Israel, they get kind of tense about that, and obviously they worry if they care about Israel, but at the same time, as an Israeli, when you live in the land, you know, after a while, you get so used to this, those kind of situations arising, you know, every so often. So you don't worry about it too much, because otherwise you can really, you know, go crazy. So you just almost ignore it. You just live your life and just see what happens.
So that's the mentality of someone growing up in Israel. But did you have to fight in the military yourself?
Yeah, I served in the IDF 3 years. It's mandatory.
Right, so it's mandatory. There are certain exemptions. It's basically it's mandatory. You're going to go through it. You do college after you get out of the army?
Yeah, you don't have a chance to do it before, unless in very special circumstances.
And that also is just a way of life, something you get used to, that when you're 18, you go into the military?
Yeah, you know it way in advance. That's what's going to happen when you're 18. You don't think about college when you're 18.
All right. And then we just got 30 seconds before the break. But in the military, were you really trained to hate the Arabs and hate the Palestinians and look at them as the enemies that you want to kill?
No, I wouldn't say that at all. Well, we know we need to defend ourselves, but we're not trained to hate anyone.
And obviously, friends, Ze'ev is not just trying to be politically correct and sound right here. He's telling you the truth. He's a follower of Jesus, Yeshua. We come back. Let's start with a story, which is really how we got to know each other in terms of the salvation of your dear dad, who's with the Lord now. I want you to hear this, friends. It thrills our hearts. Zev's even more than mine, but it thrills my heart as well, and thrilled our listeners a couple years ago when Ze'ev came on and shared these things with us. So we will be right back with much more. You're going to be blessed, friends. You're going to be encouraged. If you have a Jewish friend that doesn't yet know Jesus Yeshua, have them tune in. I know many of you don't get to hear Thoroughly Jewish Thursday on the Line of Fire, so this is a special broadcast, some wonderful testimonies from a dear Israeli brother on this Tuesday, right here on the Line of Fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-348-7884. My guest, Ze'ev Nevo, he is an Israeli living with his family now in the States for the last couple of years. He heads up Israel Media Ministries. To find out more about that, go to israelmediaministries.org. One word, of course, israelmediaministries.org. This is for Christians who love the Jewish people and want to help maximize outreach to the Jewish people, or for Jewish followers of Jesus who want to be involved in practical outreach. And any Jewish-related question that you have, 866-348-7884. So there's a question a caller has. Before we get to your dad's testimony and how we got to know each other, it's a relevant question, so I want to start here. Phil in White Plains, New York, I wanted to bring you on right at the beginning because of the nature of your question. So what's on your mind today, Phil?
Hi, Dr. Brown. Good afternoon. I grew up with Jewish people all over my neighborhood. I grew to love them deeply. I am not Jewish, but I grew to love them. And my question is this. Why is there not a massive, massive, massive movement to just minister to them with six very basic, you know, you can pick any six you want. Go through the Passover feast, the types of Christ found in their own feast, the Isaiah scriptures, the Jeremiah scriptures, you know them better than I do. If we could isolate them on TV, cable, advertisement, billboards, just let the Jewish people think about it, and they'll realize this is more than coincidence in every one of their feasts.
Yeah. You know Phil, in the last couple of years, my friends at Chosen People Ministries, based in New York City, did some major campaigns with Isaiah 53. Going in and out of the Lincoln Tunnel, they had it for a few months, this giant billboard where there were excerpts, and who was the speaking of? They took out a full-page ad in the New York Times and just printed Isaiah 53, and if people wrote in, they'd send them a book that showed them the gospel through Isaiah 53. The question is, though, why isn't there a massive movement by the church as a whole to really reach out in a practical way to the Jewish people and make the gospel known to the Jewish people? Zev, what's your take on that? I have a thought, but do you have any thoughts as to why there isn't a greater effort by the church to reach the Jewish people?
Well, to some degree, it's a false theology that some of the churches do believe. They have different, thoughts about Israel and about the salvation of Israel. So that eliminates part of the church.
Right, so some somehow don't even think that Jewish people need the gospel or need to be saved, or maybe they'll just automatically be saved somewhere in the future, so that they don't see the need or have the burden to.
That's right.
Yeah, anything else that comes to mind?
That's key, what I just said. Other than that, it's, advertising, it costs money.
Yeah, and you know what, Phil, I think it's symptomatic of the fact that there's just not a sufficient burden for evangelism in general in the body. How much focused evangelism do we really do? We send out missionaries and we support people here and there. So I think, Phil, number one, there is that lack of a larger burden to reach people with the gospel. There's what Zev said, that many have a theology so that somehow you don't need to reach Jewish people with the gospel. And then sometimes people are afraid because they don't know how. And they think, wow, Jewish people are so hard to reach. And yet, Zev, over lunch, we were talking about how God used a Gentile Christian to help reach your mom with the gospel as an old woman.
That's correct.
And as a teenager, as a 16-year-old, it was Gentiles helped reach me. Phil, let's really pray and believe that the church would take hold more and more of the commission, Romans 1:16, to the Jew first. And in doing that, we'd see gracious favor from the Lord and many more Jews coming to faith. Hey, Phil, thank you for raising the question. I appreciate it. So, Zev, let's go back in history, even before we get to your own testimony. How is it that we first came in contact a few years back?
I was serving as a missionary in Israel for several years, And during that time, you know, I was still the only believer in my family. Both my parents originally from Berlin, Germany.
And how did they react when you came to faith, Sev?
Well, my mother grew up in an atheist home, so she didn't care about that at all. My father, on the other hand, he grew up as a religious Jewish child in Berlin. So he took it to heart, and he was really hoping that it's just a phase in my life. Very soon, I think he started to realize that that phase is not going to end.
Mm-hmm.
And I do remember one day that he was sitting on his chair, and we talked, and all of a sudden he really started to cry. And I never saw my dad cry. I heard that he cried once in the past when it was the Eichmann trial.
Mm.
And I knew that my dad cried once, but I never saw him cry. And it was just a moment I will never forget, because who likes to see, you know, his father crying, and also because of him and because of what I was convinced that it's true, that Yeshua is our promised Messiah. So it was very hard for him, and we hugged, and I remember that I promised him, I said, "Dad, you know, I cannot make a decision not to believe in Yeshua anymore. It's like I would tell you, you know, look it up in the sky. You see the sun in the sky, right? You see it. You know it's there. You cannot make a decision just, you know what, I am deciding not to believe in it anymore.
Mm.
But one thing I promise you," I said, "I will never do anything that will stop me from being Jewish."
Mm. Now, did you say that just to accommodate your dad, or was it something that you felt was right in God's sight?
Oh, definitely. I felt that that's the reality when a Jewish person comes to believe in Jesus, in Yeshua, in the promised Jewish Messiah from the tribe of Judah, from the seed of David. I mean, what is he now? A Hindu? I mean, there's nothing more Jewish a Jewish person can do than believe in Yeshua, the Jewish Messiah.
So your dad was actually crying one day because you were following Jesus, Yeshua. You hugged him, you assured him that before God, you would never do anything to stop being Jewish, and that's what was in your heart. But you mentioned he had cried only once before, and that was at the trial of Adolf Eichmann, the Nazi, notorious Nazi leader responsible for the deaths of so many hundreds of thousands, even millions of Jews, directly or indirectly. How did that touch your dad personally? Obviously, every Jew was concerned about that in the world at that time, but how did that instance touch your dad personally? What was his own history being a German Jew?
Yeah, he grew up in Berlin, and at the age of 12, he left Germany on a boat on his own, on his way to Israel. He had some family in Jerusalem.
12 years old.
12 years old.
And what year was that?
That was in 1939.
All right, so already it's clear where Hitler's policies are going and the danger that could be coming. What about the rest of his family? Why didn't they all leave?
Because they couldn't, you know. You had to have a legal approval to get into Israel at the time from the British. So if the family in Jerusalem were able to get one of those, if for the family, and for some reason the decision was made that it will be my dad.
Did he have siblings, brother, sister?
Yes, he had an older sister and a younger brother, and another baby was born after he left, which he never saw.
And then his mom and dad?
Yes.
What happened to them?
They all died in Auschwitz.
All of his family?
Yes.
So he comes to Israel at the age of 12, loses his family, never sees the baby brother, died in Auschwitz also.
Yeah, her name was Hadassah.
You know, it's interesting. We know these things, but sometimes the reality just hits with intensity, friends. Let me just say this, and we'll come back to your dad's story. Just recently, a major newspaper in England on Holocaust Remembrance Day had a cartoon, one of the editorial cartoonists, and it basically showed Netanyahu building a wall using Palestinian blood. And of course, there was a terrible outrage over that. The cartoonist defended it initially, the newspaper defended it, and then they subsequently said, terrible, terrible timing, wrong, 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 terrible timing, without saying terrible cartoon, period, terrible timing was all they could say. But when you hear charges that the Israelis are being like Nazis to the Palestinians, or they're engaging in ethnic cleansing or genocide, that must be tough to hear, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's just not true. I mean, I don't see concentration camps with the gas chambers or ovens that, you know, that's just not the reality, right?
It's not the reality, and the comparison is so horrific. And then you have an Egyptian leader, Muslim Brotherhood, saying also within the last few days, hey, Holocaust never happened. The Jews just immigrated to the United States. Friends, these are the lies that are out there circulating and even widely believed in much of the Muslim world. Okay, we come back. Good news, how God intervened in Zev's dad's life and brought him to faith in Yeshua. We'll be right back. I know many of you don't get to hear Thoroughly Jewish Thursday on the Line of Fire, so this is a special broadcast, some wonderful testimonies from a dear Israeli brother on this Tuesday, right here on the Line of Fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
My guest today on Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, an Israeli believer in Jesus, Yeshua, Zev Nevo. He's president of Israel Media Ministries, Maximizing Jewish Evangelism in Israel and Worldwide. Visit his website at israelmediaministries.org. One word, israelmediaministries.org. If you have an Israel or Jewish-related question, I'll take some calls today, 866-348-7884. So Zev, you and I first connected having to do with your dad. You're working with Jews for Jesus in Israel. Your dad had escaped the Holocaust at the age of 12, left in 1939. His mother, father, older and younger sisters all died in Auschwitz and concentration camp there. So obviously starts a new life in Israel. Now he's an older man, and you contact me, and something happened when he turned 80, a birthday present you got him, right?
Yeah, even just a bit before that birthday, I already gave him one of your books, one of the four books at the time, now it's five, Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus. And even though it was in English, and his mother tongue is German and he speaks Hebrew, he started to read that and he couldn't get the book down. Mm. And he was he told me that he was really impressed by the chutzpah, he was saying, that you have is just to dig into all the Jewish writings and the Talmud and obviously all the prophecies and the Tanakh and really face all the tough objections that comes from Jewish people when you talk to them about Jesus. He was really, really impressed, and it seems like that the answers that he was reading in your book made a lot of sense to him. So that was one book. Then I gave him another book from that series. And when it came to age 80, I gave him, I completed the series with the last two.
So volumes 3 and 4 of Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus. You gave to your 80-year-old father, your 80-year-old German-Israeli father as a birthday present.
Yes, and he told me at that point he wasn't a believer yet, but he told me on his birthday that you couldn't have given me a better gift for my birthday.
Praise God. Amazing. So then it was after that through a mutual friend we had with Jews for Jesus, you sent us a request.
Yes, I am basically a friend of mine. Actually, it was the wife of the person that led me to the Lord. She came up with the idea. And she said, well, why don't you try to connect with Dr. Michael Brown? Maybe he will be willing to speak with your dad. So I said, that's a great idea. I didn't have your email or any way to contact you. So through that mutual friend, she contacted you and asked you if you'd be willing to speak with my dad, Joseph, in Israel. And you said, of course. So then I approached my dad and I told him, will you be willing to speak with Dr. Michael Brown if he would call you? And he said to me, well, how can I say no to that? So we set up the date and the time, and then you called him from the United States. And then, obviously, I was praying and asking anyone that I know to pray for that. And then I heard from you by email what was the outcome of the conversation. And you wrote to me in that email that my dad said to you that he is convinced that Yeshua is the Jewish Messiah.
He had said he was convinced but not committed, knowing that there was a step he had to take. He understood what commitment meant, and yet at that point he said he was convinced. Which I remember when he said those words to me, it was just, my heart was thrilled.
Yes.
So after that, did he come to a place of faith? Did he share the gospel with your mom?
Well, actually, I made him do it. So we were sitting at the little condo that they had, and I had to put my father next to my mother, and I just wanted to make him tell her that he believes, because I really believe that if he believed now, as one that grew up as a religious Jew, then surely she would believe if he would be convinced that she would. So basically, he kind of tried to go around and around, and eventually I just said, like, you know, let me just ask you direct questions, just answer yes or no. So just following, you know, the gospel, he just started to say yes, 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 yes. Mm. Of course, this is what Isaiah said. Oh, of course, this is what Jeremiah said in the Bible. So all of a sudden he started to open up and smile and everything in front of my mom. And that was one of the most joyful moments of my life.
Amazing. Praise God. Yeah, and when you shared that with me, that he really shared the gospel with your mom. We'll get to your mom's story later. But friends, God's word is bearing fruit, and by God's grace, he's enabled us to be on the front lines. When I spent all these years working on the five volumes of Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus, and now the more recent volume, Real Kosher Jesus, it was not just because there was nothing else to do in life, and it wasn't to strengthen my own faith. I knew what I believed, but it was to strengthen the faith of my fellow Jewish believers and to reach Jewish people who didn't know the gospel. And we receive testimonies on a regular basis of people coming to faith. Just got a neat email yesterday, Zev, about a woman coming to faith, a Jewish woman, through Real Kosher Jesus. But your dad's story still remains one of the most touching to me because of the backdrop of the horror of the Holocaust, because of his age, because he was he did translations, didn't he?
Yes.
Yes, I mean, he was a professional translator. He was a sharp-thinking man, and his tenderness and his articulate nature to play a small role in this is just amazing. And friends, I want you to partner with me to reach Jewish people with the gospel. Over lunch, I was talking with Zev about so many ideas and things we want to do. We just need more help to do it, even to expand what we do in outreach on Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. Your help is crucial. If you can become a torchbearer, a monthly supporter, standing with us with at least $25 or more per month, we send you a new message of mine every month. We give you free access to our online classes, 15% discount on our online bookstore, and then other perks along the way. And we did this once before. I just want to extend it again. If you become a torchbearer today, I want to send you a signed and numbered hardcover copy of The Real Kosher Jesus. This is from the very first printing. Some of the numbered copies from the first printing of the hardcover. We'll send that to you as a gift if you become a torchbearer today. And for those that say, hey, I want to stand with you, but I can't make a monthly commitment, our resource offer today, you get a copy of the paperback version of The Real Kosher Jesus, together with the CD of 2 hours of interviews with Zev and I, all for today, and the two-hour DVD of my debate with Rabbi Shmuley on Sid Roth's TV broadcast. You'll get the complete debate on DVD, plus the CDs, plus the book, $25 postage paid. So this is a way that you can be blessed and can stand with us as well. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. This is a special radio-only offer. We don't have this online. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, that's 1-800-278-9978. And to all of you becoming torchbearers standing with us today, thank you. Our entire team thanks you. And together, we are making a real difference. And friends, those that pray, that stand with us, we are reaching Jewish people. They're coming to know Jesus, Yeshua. You, my friend, are a vital part of that. I know many of you don't get to hear Thoroughly Jewish Thursday on the Line of Fire, so this is a special broadcast, some wonderful testimonies from a dear Israeli brother on this Tuesday, right here on the Line of Fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It is my joy to be with you today on the Line of Fire. It is Thursday, which means, yes, Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. Thanks so much for joining me on the broadcast. I have a special guest in studio with me, Zev Nevo. He is an Israeli follower of Jesus, Yeshua, spent the first 36 years of his life living in Israel, now with his wife and family living here in the States the last couple of years, and we've gotten to co-work on some projects together. Last half hour shared some of the amazing story of his dad coming to faith in Jesus, Yeshua, as an old man in his 80s, genuinely coming to faith before going to be with the Lord. He'd escaped the Holocaust earlier. Later in the broadcast, we'll talk about Zev's mom. But first, Zev, let's focus on you. Israel Media Ministries, that's the website, israelmediaministries.org. What exactly is that?
That's basically an all-out effort to reach as many Jewish people, both in Israel and in the United States, anywhere else in the world, with the gospel of the Jewish Messiah, Yeshua. You know, at the time, at the first century, you know, when you wanted to reach the masses of the people, you would go to the marketplaces, you would go to the synagogues. These days, it's a little different. If you want to reach the masses, you want to go to where the masses are. And today, it's online. It's on the internet. And in Israel, even more so. You know, many researchers are showing that the average Israeli is spending double the time online than the average American.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
So really, if you want to share the gospel, you need to meet the person where he is. So this is what we're doing. You know, when I look at evangelism, obviously I look at it as being a fisherman. So we always have to come up with new ideas, new hooks that really draw people to the gospel. And we do it, try to do it in a creative way, but without compromising the gospel message. Just knowing the Israeli culture and mentality, we basically try to attract people to the gospel message in many different ways and creative concepts.
Now we'll come to one of those fascinating campaigns that you had. I loved it, the cartoon characters and how you did it. We'll come back to that. But when you talked about the fish, it made me think of something. Some of us are real stubborn in our ways. And I've always fished like this. And now I'm not a fisherman, but just using the analogy. I've always fished like this, and I'm throwing the bait out over here. I'm throwing the line out over here. Yeah, but Mike Brown, there are only three fish in that pond. Well, this is, I've got a good line. I've got a good hook. I've got good bait. This is where I'm going to fish. But Mike Brown, over in that pond, there are 10,000 fish. What you're saying is the fish are on the internet.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
And when we're talking about hook and bait, we're talking about the truth.
Definitely.
But how to draw people in. Why do you think it is that Israelis are online even more than Americans? Because Americans spend a lot of time online. And any guess?
Why? Well, I don't have the exact answer for that. I just know that's
yeah,
the fact.
It's a curiosity to me. I mean, we could speculate. You know, America, a lot of high-tech stuff. Israel, a lot of high-tech stuff. Maybe with the smallness of the country and pressure from the outside. Who knows? But fascinating. So Israel Media Ministries. You've been partnering now with a major Jewish ministry based in the States with Sid Roth, and you've been working on getting some of my stuff translated into Hebrew and now into Russian. And right now there's outreach going on through internet. Are people being drawn in Israel? You're actually seeing a response where people are getting drawn in and want to find out more?
Oh, definitely. Only in the last like 2.5 weeks, we got over 10,000 Israeli Jewish people to the website. And we got a lot of interest. We have book orders, obviously for free, on the internet, and ebooks that we provide as well for free. People can write with questions. A lot is going on.
Good. All right. So we come back. You friends, you got to hear this campaign they did. Yeshua. What in the world? We'll sort it out when we come back. I I know many of you don't get to hear Thoroughly Jewish Thursday on the Line of Fire, so this is a special broadcast, some wonderful testimonies from a dear Israeli brother on this Tuesday, right here on the Line of Fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us, friends, on Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. Michael Brown here with my guest in studio, Ze'ev Nivo, who is the president of Israel Media Ministries. To visit the website, israelmediaministries.org, maximizing Jewish evangelism in Israel and worldwide. If you have a Jewish-related question for me or Zev or a question relating to Israel, 866-348-7884. If you're a Jewish person that does not believe in Jesus and thinks we're deceived or wrong or misleading others, same number, 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, Zev, when we got together one of the first times, you showed me something that you had been involved with, a previous outreach effort you had been involved with in Hebrew, in Israel, and I thought it was brilliant. The folks you work with, graphics, media, internet people, what you put together I thought was absolutely graphic. So first let's try to explain this. The name Jesus properly in Hebrew is Yeshua, but your average Israeli, what do they think the name is?
Yeshua?
Yeah, they think the name is Yeshu. Now, to them, it's just a name. There's nothing necessarily derogatory or negative to a secular Israeli. But to a religious Jew, Yeshu also stands for, in Hebrew, Yimach Shemo V'Zichro, may his name and memory be obliterated. In other words, when a religious Jew says it, they're saying it normally in a derogatory way, almost uttering a curse against Jesus when they say it. Now, some argue that the original pronunciation, Yeshua, became Yeshua, and the final stop, the glottal stop, wasn't clearly heard. And anyway, let's not even argue that. Your average Israeli just thinks the name is Yeshu. Jewish believers know his name is Yeshua, and we don't like to use the Yeshu name because that's a bad-sounding name in our ears because we know what it is to the Orthodox. What's the Hebrew word for salvation?
Yeshua.
Yeshua. Okay. Now, Yeshua is related to salvation. It's basically Yahweh saves, Yahweh's Savior, and it's short for Yehoshua. But your average Israeli thinks the name for Jesus is Yeshu. His proper name is Yeshua. The name for salvation is Yeshua. So that could be a little confusing. So what did you come up with in the ad campaign, and then who were the different characters that you had involved with it? It was absolutely brilliant.
Well, basically the idea was to take what you just explained, the confusion that can arise from the name Yeshu and Yeshua and the meaning of it, which is Yeshua, salvation, and present it in a funny way with using humor and taking three different characters, Israeli characters. One of them will be like more like a Sephardic Jew, a Moroccan Jew. One of them would be a rabbi. And one of them would be a new Russian immigrant to Israel.
So they each have different accents, and they look different, and they have different accents too.
Yeah, and they're all very confused about this Yeshua equals Yeshua. So yeah, it can
and
get kind of funny.
Their head starts spinning, and that's their way to draw in, like who, what, and what kind of response did you get to that?
Oh, we got a tremendous response to it. Again, thousands and thousands of people were drawn to the website. And hundreds ordered the books. And you have to understand, when someone orders the book, obviously they give us the mailing address, the telephone numbers in many cases, their full name. So that's a very good starting point to start to follow up, and try to do discipleship with the person, to meet with the person.
Right, if they're really interested, let's sit down and talk.
Exactly.
You don't have to just make a split-second decision. Let's sit down and talk and answer your questions and interact.
Exactly, and that's what I'm really excited about, this internet-based evangelism. It doesn't just stay on the internet. The internet is just like the net. It's where you catch the fish. But once you get it, you know, or you get the person that is open, then you're able to take it to the ground, to the land of Israel, here in the United States, wherever it is, and really have an interaction with a person.
So it's nothing to do, we're not talking about high pressure, it's actually the opposite. Hey, it's just right there on the internet. No one's yelling at you, no one's screaming at you, no one's knocking at your door, no one's putting you under pressure. It's right there. If you want more information, write to us. We'll send you more information. If you want more information, we're happy to sit and talk with you. I mean, that's the gospel method. That's the method of discipleship. And we've talked about some strategies for future outreach in Israel. Some of my materials are getting translated now more and more into Hebrew, some being translated into Russian. Zeb, you were personally involved with taking my first 11 Think It Through TV episodes and putting Hebrew captions up. Does that actually work, having Hebrew captions for like a movie or TV show? Does that work in Israel?
Oh, definitely. I mean, that's just the way people are used to consume media. I mean, every Hollywood movie or whatever movie that comes out, it's still in English when it's in Israel.
They don't dub it.
They don't dub it. What we do, we just put Hebrew subtitles, you know, and Israeli thinks it's kind of cool if it's in English. So it's not, it's not a disadvantage. It's an advantage.
All right. So that's the way that we've been doing the Think It Through episodes and getting those out. And I don't want to talk about it yet, but we've got a couple of hooks for some strategies for some future outreach in Hebrew. It could be in Russian, in English, in America as well, as we're doing more Jewish outreach together, Zev. But let's talk about this. Growing up as an Israeli, were you raised religiously at all or fairly secular upbringing?
I was raised secular. We did celebrate some of the holidays like Passover, but that was more like a family tradition. It wasn't really saying that we believe in God or anything like that. It's just, you know, a good thing to do. It's fun. You get together. Just tradition. Interesting thing, though, that when I was 13, you know, that's the age that Jewish boys do a bar mitzvah. My best friend was even more secular than we were. So he didn't want to do that. So I said to my dad, well, you know, why should I do that? We're not religious or anything like that. But for some reason, it was very, very important to my dad that I will do it. Then to honor him, I learned the segment of the Bible that I needed to know by heart, and I know how to sing it and everything. And I actually went to the Wailing Wall, and I did my bar mitzvah over there. And I'm very glad I did that today, actually.
Did it have at that point any spiritual meaning to you?
Not at all.
Yeah, when I was bar mitzvahed, it was more of a big social event, and I had to learn my passage and learn to chant it and so on. I had to memorize the chanting of it, you know, and you pretty much had it in your head. But because I didn't know Hebrew, I was not an Israeli, I wasn't raised in a religious Jewish home, I didn't know Hebrew, so that meant that I recited the whole passage in Hebrew and didn't even know what it was. And no one thought of telling me, here it is in English, let's talk about the content and the meaning and so on. What did you think of Jesus growing up, or did you ever think of him?
I never thought of him. Why should I? I mean, at that point of life,
I understand.
When this is like the Christian religion, I'm Jewish, whether I believe or not in God or not. At that point, it didn't matter. It didn't change the fact that I'm Jewish. Period.
And when you thought of Jesus, you thought of Christianity. Were there examples of Christianity in Israel that you associated Jesus with?
I knew, growing up in Jerusalem, I knew about Bethlehem. I knew there is some kind of an important church over there for the Christians, but no, nothing. I knew about the Via Dolorosa. It's the way that, you know, the road that Jesus walked through.
Right, and you'd see like the Catholic priests or the Greek Orthodox priests in certain, you know, holy sites or things like that, but that's no real exposure to the gospel. Did you know other Jews who believed in Jesus? Had you heard of Messianic Judaism?
Never.
Yeah, and this would be very typical for someone your age in Israel.
Right.
I mean, it's changed in Israel, not totally, but it has changed. Did you know that Jesus was Jewish?
I guess at some point in my life I did. I don't know when exactly it was, but, you know, I just didn't think about it at all.
Right, just like Christians, what do you think of Muhammad? Most don't. Why? Right. Why would they?
Exactly.
Do you know Muhammad's ethnicity? Arab, or who knows? I mean, that would be the same kind of thing. Did you ever learn about him in school, just in secular school? Did he ever come up as a subject?
Not that I remember, no.
And even though you were raised secular, did you learn the Bible growing up in secular school?
Yeah, I kind of joke about it sometimes. What you learn in a secular elementary school in Israel, it's like your Genesis, Exodus, and that's it. And then maybe you learn one prophecy, and then you do your exam, you get a good grade, and you move on.
All right, so How old were you? We've just got 30 seconds now, so we'll take this up on the other side of the break. We'll take a call also. But how old were you when God started working in your life and confronting you with the claims of Jesus the Messiah?
I was 27 years old.
27 years old. And the first time this came up to you, was this pretty radical, pretty out there, different?
Yeah, it didn't make a lot of sense just to put the name Jews and the name Jesus on the same sign. I mean, it drew my attention in a good way. You know, that was good, but it didn't make any sense at all.
Jews for Jesus. I remember doing a debate with my friend Rabbi Shmuley while Jews for Jesus was having a campaign in Pittsburgh, and they had these big billboards, Jews for Jesus. Isn't that like vegetarians for meat? So that's how it sounds. All right, we'll take a call and continue with Zev's testimony when we come back. I know many of you don't get to hear Thoroughly Jewish Thursday on the Line of Fire, so this is a special broadcast, some wonderful testimonies from a dear Israeli brother on this Tuesday, right here on the Line of Fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us, friends, on Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. My guest, Israeli believer in Jesus Yeshua, living in the States the last couple of years, president of Israel Media Ministries. The website, which will get your attention when you go there, israelmediaministries.org. That is one word. Before, Zev, we get back to your testimony and how you came to faith, let's just go to the phones. Joyce in Englewood, New Jersey, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Brown, for taking my call. I just want to draw you all attention to something. I enjoy your topic there today. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 44, and verse 1 and 2, you will see how God tell the prophet over 3,000 years ago that the eastern gate will be shut. I know you've been to Jerusalem, and so did I. We look at it as shut, and he said it will not be open, number one. Number two, when I went up there, and other Christian and other people, and I saw this, and this is many years ago, Dome of the Rock, Muslim. And then we had to take out our shoes. I said, well, what is this? And the Elas Komos. Nobody preached on this scripture. But when I saw it, Dr. Brown, I said, you see, the Bible say all things work together for good. I didn't quite understand why that dome was there. And so you read further down to verse 4, you will see how the prophet falling on his face to the north gate. The second time I went, God blessed me to walk through the north gate facing the Holy of Holies. And I said this to say, I heard the guest, I forget his name, that brother in Christ, he was saying that, you know how they say they use Yeshua name, Yeshua, as a curse word. But however, it might sound bad, like they, you know, they cursing God, but it's not, because God said he would blind your eyes for a period of time. So all things, we don't understand everything. Also, one more scripture and I'll finish. In the book of Haggai, chapter 2, it only have two chapters, verse 22 say that God will destroy the heathen nations by their own brothers. That means nation that does not believe in the God of the Bible. And so their own brothers, as we watch in 2012, what they call the Arab Spring uprising, but their own internal thing, it is fulfilled in Haggai, chapter 2, verse 22. So the word is there, you know, the Dome of the Rock, that heathen mosque is there for a purpose. And so we see that. So I wouldn't criticize them and stress so much that they're using it as a curse word. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Joyce. I appreciate that. Our sister had a lot to say. And you can go back and look at those scriptures and think through their application to today. All right, Zev, you're 26 years old. 27 years old. You saw a sign that said Jews for Jesus. Was that what got your attention?
Yes. I live in London for the time.
Yeah. Ah, okay. So you're living in London then. And seems strange to you, but why did you even think any more about it? Was God working in your heart? Were you aware that there was a need? Were you seeking?
I didn't think that I was seeking at the time. But it was on my way from where I lived to where I studied. So I had to see it almost every day. So, It took 2 years until I actually entered that store because I was, for some reason, walking down that street as opposed to being on the bus or something. And it just was too strange to ignore. So I wanted to go in, but it was closed. It was Sunday. So, and I saw through the glass window a little red book. It says the New Testament, Abrit HaChadasha, in Hebrew. And I thought, who needs the New Testament in Hebrew? This is like the Bible of the Christians. We Hebrew speaking Jews, we don't need that. But that even made me even more curious. So I came back the next day especially, and I went straight into that store to ask questions.
And 2 minutes, how did God bring you to faith? What were the key things that caused you to take that step, which was radical for a Jew, for an Israeli? Your dad escaped the Holocaust, lost all his family there. A lot of times there's so much opposition in your thinking to even go in this direction. What brought you to a place of faith and now giving your whole life to Jesus Yeshua?
Well, I look at things very logically. At least that's, you know, my perspective. I'm sure God is working way beyond and above that. But just me, I said, well, you know what? They probably got it wrong. But there's only two options here. They're either right or wrong. That's the only two options that exist. So I said, well, I wanted to check that. And I said to myself, if that's correct, and what I heard from the people over there in that place, that it's according to the prophecies in the Bible, then I said, well, let's start to read the prophecies in the Old Testament, in the Bible, written hundreds of years before the time of Yeshua, and see if everything really points to him. And to my shocking surprise, I saw things in the Bible clearly pointing to Yeshua as the only candidate to be the Jewish Messiah. From every aspect that I would examine it, it would lead just to the same conclusion. It cannot be anyone else at any other time. It must be him.
Mm. And you took the plunge.
Yes, I did. I mean, I couldn't say no to what I clearly saw as true.
And then once based on truth, you put your faith and trust in him, did he change your life?
Oh, definitely he did, yeah.
So it wasn't just a matter of you became intellectually convinced, something really happened.
Yeah, that's. I think that's how it started. It started like pure logical thinking.
Yeah.
But, you know, once you accept it, then God, then you receive the Holy Spirit and God is really working in your life and he's changing you.
Zev, over the years, you've had some very kind things to say about the work that we've done, the materials that we've provided. I love for people to be encouraged because they pray for us, they support us. I don't want to stand here and praise what we're doing, but perhaps you can give a perspective to our audience to let them know as they pray for us, as they support us, that we really are, by God's grace, making a difference.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I can see how the all the materials and your daily broadcast and all the books that you write, it's really reaching out, you know, and it's not just to Jewish people. It is doing a lot of ministry to Jewish people. But to be honest, I'm kind of amazed of the spectrum of outreaches that you do in this ministry. So this is just unbelievable to me.
Yeah, friends, be encouraged. As you pray for us, as you support us, you are really making a difference. I really would love for you to become a torchbearer today, friend, a monthly supporter, to take that step with us, not even a dollar a day, $25 a month. You hold our hands up. This is the nucleus of our ministry, our monthly torchbearers. So those of you torchbearers listening, pat yourself on the back and hear the Lord say, well done, because you're making a great difference. $25 or more per month. We send you a new message every month. We give you a discount in our online bookstore, online access for free to our classes, our online classes. And today, what I want to do, if you become a torchbearer, send you as a gift. It's kind of a collector's item. It's from the first printing of the hardcover edition of The Real Kosher Jesus, especially numbered volume that I'll sign as well as my thank you gift. And those that simply want to stand with us on a one-time basis or get a resource, $25 postage paid today will send you the paperback version of The Real Kosher Jesus together with my two-hour debate with Sid Roth, moderated with Rabbi Shmuley, and the 2 hours of interviews with Zev today. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, yes, there are prophecies that all Israel will be saved, but he is saving his people one at a time, and he wants to use you. I know many of you don't get to hear Thoroughly Jewish Thursday on the Line of Fire, so this is a special broadcast, some wonderful testimonies from a dear Israeli brother on this Tuesday, right here on the Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I have often said that the way I figure out days of the week is by what my subject matter is on the radio. So I get my bearings it's Thursday today. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you, especially delighted because I have a great guest with me, a dear friend and co-worker in Jewish ministry, Ze'ev Nivo. He is an Israeli, native-born Israeli, lived almost all his life in Israel, and now here with his family in the States, actively involved in reaching Jewish people in Israel and around the world, and some amazing stories, personal testimony, things that he's witnessed the Lord do. So we've got a great hour in store for you. If you have a Jewish-related question of any kind, a question relating to Hebrew, question relating to modern Israel, question relating to Jewish interpretation of Scripture, or the like, give me a call, 866-348-7884. That's 866-34-TRUTH. And between Ze'ev and me, hopefully we'll have some good, solid answers for you. Ze'ev, welcome to the broadcast. Great to have you on the air with us.
Thank you. Shalom.
So how do you like living in America?
I like it. Yeah, it's a change. Definitely very different from Israel.
How? Tell me some of the ways it's different.
Well, you have more space here, definitely.
Okay. Yeah, that's true.
Generally speaking, where I live, people are more relaxed,
Israelis are a bit more high strung.
Definitely.
All right. Now your wife's American.
Yes, she is.
How did she like living there? It was 10 years she lived there. How did she feel about it?
Yeah, she knew God called her to the land, so she left her entire family here in the States, and she moved to Israel by herself, not knowing the language, not knowing anything, just knowing that God sent her there, she needs to be there. And this is where we met and got married and have had kids. How was it for her? Well, it's not very easy. You know, some people go with a very, you know, kind of just a fantasy kind of idea of how it is going to be in Israel. Well, it's not very easy, to be honest, for someone that grew up in an American culture and not knowing the language to all of a sudden be saturated in a completely different culture and know how to just survive sometimes.
Yeah, and what about the pressure of the day-to-day and the, you know, it can be a little tough. How did she feel about that?
Well, people are way more direct when they speak to you, so it's like, right in your face. So they're not trying to give you any space. You know, they just say whatever they think, when they think, you know, in kind of a harsh way sometimes. It doesn't surprise me, you know, because 99.9% people of the Jewish people in Israel, they do not know Jesus. So how would we be without Jesus? You know,
right. And there's a lot of pressure from this, just life pressure, economic pressure, pressure of potential war, things like that. So the Sabra, that's how you refer to a native Israeli. What does the word Sabra actually mean?
Sabra is a fruit that grows in the Mediterranean, and it's very sweet from the inside, but from the outside it has very strong thorns.
So it's kind of like a cactus.
It's like a cactus. It's like a fruit of a cactus, if you can imagine that.
And that's the word that's used for a native Israeli, a Sabra. A little thorny on the outside, but soft on the inside.
Yeah, if you get the time to know the person, and that's true, really true for most Israelis, they're tougher from the outside, but when you get to know them, they're sweet, and they will do everything for you if you become their friends.
Yeah, so different culture. Ze'ev, here in the States with us. We come back, let's talk about the biggest obstacles for Israelis coming to faith in Jesus, for Orthodox Jews, for Jewish people in general. We'll talk about it. If you've got a Jewish-related question, 866-348-7884. The world. I know many of you don't get to hear Thoroughly Jewish Thursday on the Line of Fire, so this is a special broadcast, some wonderful testimonies from a dear Israeli brother on this Tuesday, right here on the Line of Fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire on this Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. Michael Brown with my guest, Zev Nevo. He is president of Israel Media Ministries. I'm looking at the beautiful website right now, israelmediaministries.org, maximizing Jewish evangelism in Israel and worldwide. Friends, Jewish people are coming to faith on a very regular basis. They have for years and years and centuries. Paul said there's always a remnant. God's preserved a remnant through the centuries, but there's definitely been an increase, especially since 67, interestingly, the Six-Day War, Jerusalem coming back into Jewish hands. That marks a real beginning, an increase in Jewish evangelism, Jewish people coming to faith, Messianic Jewish congregations being formed. So it's harvest time, but we want to see so much more. 866-348-7884. Zev, a lot of Christians have the notion that it's impossible to witness to Jewish people. There's so many obstacles. Now, we know God uses Gentiles to witness to Jews. God uses uneducated people, educated people. Jewish people are people like everyone else. They get saved like everyone else. And yet, there are a number of obstacles that would be unique. You know, if you're reaching out in the Muslim world, you're going to hit obstacles that are unique there. Say, let's talk about Jewish people in general around the world. What would some of the biggest obstacles be? You've been involved in Jewish evangelism for a long time now. Some of the biggest obstacles to Jewish people coming to faith, in your view?
I would think that number one would be the lie that Jewish people believe that if they come to believe in Jesus, the Yeshua, the Jewish Messiah, then they're no longer Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
No Jewish person would like to do that, you know, if that's the case. Why right. should I stop being Jewish? I'm Jewish. I want to stay Jewish.
All right. So that's big. And the sense of I'll be betraying my people, ancestors, and somehow sinning against God because my Jewishness is important, that's very, very big. All right. What's another major obstacle just for Jews in general?
I would think that in the last century, definitely the Holocaust, you know, it's been perceived by many Jewish people that the Holocaust, was basically influenced by Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
So if you see that as the fruit of Christianity, you know, that even draw you more apart from even considering that this is something that has anything good in it, generally speaking, and specifically for me, let's say, as a Jewish person, what exactly do I have to look there for?
Right, so the Holocaust most recently, but then through church history, crusades, inquisitions. That's why in Jewish ministry, we don't use the word crusade.
That's right.
We're having a crusade to the Jews because crusade, which is a fine word for Christians, and they use it innocently, is not a fine word for Jews.
No.
And the perception about the Holocaust relating to Christianity, certainly there was a lot of anti-Semitism in the churches in Europe that paved the way for this. Of course, these churches were by and large away from the gospel, away from the New Testament, and had departed from their roots. Otherwise, they would not have been anti-Semitic. But anti-Semitism in the church helped pave the way for the Holocaust in Germany. That's undeniably true. What else would you say is a major obstacle?
A major obstacle is it's very different. You know, it's very me, for instance, when I came to faith, not just that I had to betray my family or, you know, my dad. You know, I'm the only son of my dad, who is the only survivor for his entire family that died in the Holocaust, in Auschwitz. So I am the only Jewish remnant, you know, that will carry that Jewish seed in his mind. So, you know, for some people, you know, that might be something that would prevent or at least, you know, make it very tough decision to follow Yeshua.
Yeah, I remember my dad asking when I came to faith, okay, when he dies, am I going to be there to say the Mortis Kaddish for him, you know, to be in the synagogue and praying the prayer? even though it's not for the dead, it's in memory of the dead. Would I be there? You know, that was an issue to him, even though we were not that religious. You know, I'd never been to synagogue on a regular basis before that, you know, a few weeks here and there and high holidays and stuff. But that does come up. Now within Israel, would you say that your typical Israeli is like a typical American Jew? You've lived here now. You've interacted. You lived in London for a while. Or are there a few distinctives about Israeli Jews that make it more challenging or more easy to reach them with the gospel?
I would say it's more challenging to reach Israelis because, you know, we've only been in the modern state of Israel just 64 years or so. So everything is very new. We build that. Now we have our Jewish state. It's all about being Jewish, completely disconnected from believing in God, you know, in many cases. But of course, for the religious, it's linked. But it's the Jewish identity. It's losing the Jewish identity. And that's why it's very important to teach, you know, even in our own churches here, the importance of understanding the Jewish roots of our faith and to present the gospel in that way, especially when we're doing Jewish ministry.
All right. Now, I have friends who are counter-missionaries, rabbis, and they will accuse us of being deceptive. In other words, we're preaching another religion, not just a false religion, but a foreign religion. But now we're putting on these little Jewish garments, we're putting on these Jewish symbols so that we're now decorating this Gentile thing to make it look Jewish. We're taking this foreign Gentile religion called Christianity, and we're putting up the Hanukkah candles, or we're talking about Passover, or now we're talking about Yeshua. Is that true, or are we just trying to take something that's Gentile and make it Jewish, or are we actually trying to go back to the roots of our faith?
Exactly. We're going back to the roots, you know, all the way back to the roots, and we look at the first believers in Jesus, the disciples, obviously Jewish. They didn't stop being Jewish. Then you see, you know, in Pentecost, you know, people coming to faith, 3,000 people. You see Jewish people come to faith. The question in the New Testament, when we read, we see is, can Gentiles believe in the Jewish Messiah? These days, you know, it's completely right. The other way around. But that's not, you know, that's not reality.
Right. So the big question is, in Acts 15, can you be a Gentile and follow Jesus without first becoming a Jew because he's the Jewish Messiah? Then through church history, Can you be a Jew and follow Jesus because everything's become so Gentile? I actually had friends of mine, Jewish friends, that when they got saved, someone gave them a ham sandwich to see if they're really saved. Mm-hmm. That kind of foolishness. All right, what about when we talk about the really religious, the very, very Orthodox in Israel? What percentage of the population of that is that in Israel today, ultra-Orthodox Jews?
I would guess it's around the 20% or so.
Yeah, it's definitely growing because of the very high birth rate, and then the average Israeli family not having a high birth rate. It looks very foreign to most people, the black hats, black coats for the men, the women so totally covered, the big families, the day and night study, the just everything, the look, it's foreign, it's different. And when it comes to the gospel, there's often tremendous hostility. One time New Testaments were distributed a couple of years ago, and religious Jews picked them up and had them burned, which a lot of other Jews didn't like because they said, hey, it was our books being burned in the Holocaust not that long ago. We don't burn books even when we differ. But what are some of the positive values that these religious Jewish families have? What are some of the things that they do well and that we should applaud and say this is wonderful?
Well, for once, you see a very low numbers of divorce between the ultra-Orthodox. You know, they're faithful to each other as a family. They really multiply. They have many kids. So they really keep those biblical values of truth and purity much better than the secular people, for sure.
Mm.
So they do fervently believe in God. They just don't know the truth, but they're really faithful to what they believe. So they have good intentions. They just don't know. That's why we need to tell them the gospel.
And for them, keeping the law is a beautiful thing. For them, this is a gift that they get to keep all these commandments and set themselves apart, as opposed to this is the worst burden possible.
That's true.
Yeah, and I'm sure there are some that are burdened by it. But traditional Jew, I was just reading some of the prayers, the morning prayer, Shacharit, as it's called, the prayers prayed first thing in the morning, and then the formal public prayers together. And they're beautiful prayers. And they're prayers that really pledge complete devotion to God and to Torah. And to say, no, you need to stop believing all that and believe in this foreign religion, Jesus. They'll die before they do that. That's where we've got to get them the full message of truth. All right, we will be back with your calls, more with my guest, Zev Nivol. And we want to talk about how his precious mom, as an elderly woman, came to faith in Jesus, Yeshua. I know many of you don't get to hear Thoroughly Jewish Thursday on the Line of Fire, so this is a special broadcast, some wonderful testimonies from a dear Israeli brother on this Tuesday, right here on the Line of Fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
My guest today on Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, Ze'ev Nivol. He is president of Israel Media Ministries. I encourage you to visit his website, israelmediaministries.org. Check out what they're doing. Check out how to pray for Israel, how to bless Israel. Sign up for his newsletter so that you can be part of what the Lord is doing in reaching Jewish people with the gospel. If you have a Jewish, Hebrew, Israel-related question of any kind, I will take some calls a little later in the show, 866-348-7884. Zev, let's say you meet me. I don't know the Lord. I'm a typical American Jew. So 90% of American Jews are not Orthodox, at least 90%. That would mean I've probably been bar mitzvahed. I have a sense of Jewish identity that's important, but I'm not in synagogue on a regular basis. I don't keep the dietary laws. I know the Bible a little bit. And we start talking, and what do? And you tell me, and how do you introduce the subject? How would you start witnessing to me? Now, the Lord might lead you in different ways, but if you were just, generally speaking, approaching me with the gospel as a Jewish person, what would you do? Where would you start?
I will ask the person if you have heard about Yeshua.
I don't know. Who is Yeshua?
That's exactly the point. That's why I'm asking that, because the answer would be no. And then I'll say, well, Yeshua is the real Hebrew name of Jesus.
All right, so again, just your average American Jew, if you say Yeshua, they don't know that's Jesus.
No, they don't.
Right. So that's, you know, I was doing a radio interview with someone else the other day. He said, so when you got saved in 71, you got saved in the name of Yeshua. I said, I didn't know who Yeshua was. Never heard of that. So, okay, so you start there, and your purpose is to get them to realize that he's Jewish?
My purpose is to get them realize not just that he's Jewish, that would be one point, but that he is the one Jewish promised Messiah that he was promised, you know.
All right, witness to me. Share that. No, I don't know. Who you're saying Yeshua is Jesus? That's the Hebrew name for Jesus?
Yes, he is. That's his name. And actually, you know, many prophecies in our own Tanakh, in our own Bible, that were written hundreds of years before Jesus was even born, all points to him in an undeniable way, if you're just honest enough to check what's written in your own Jewish Bible.
What I hear is that, like, they got mistranslated in the New Testament. Now, remember, friends, I'm being a non-believing Jew here. I understand they got, like, twisted later. And so, I mean, you're not talking about the original Hebrew, are you?
I am talking about the original Hebrew. I'm not even talking about the New Testament at that point. I'm talking about the Tanakh that you may have on your shelf at home from your bar mitzvah.
Now, I got an English Bible. That's what I had. So I didn't even have a Hebrew Bible.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't have read it anyway.
English will do as well.
Okay. So you'll take my Jewish Bible.
Yes.
All right. And where would you start if you're going to start somewhere?
Oh, there is many places we can start. But for an instance, obviously, Isaiah 53, that would be a great place to start. For me, it was a shocker to find very, quote-unquote, Christians, in a sense, prophecies, what appeared to be like what we know about Christianity in our own Jewish Bible, For instance, the exact location where Jesus will be born, which will be Bethlehem, according to Micah chapter 5, or the fact that God did say that he will give us a sign that the virgin will be pregnant and she will bear a son, and his name will be Emmanuel, which in Hebrew means God with us. So that's a virgin birth. That's Bethlehem. That's the fact that we are promised a Messiah that will die for our sins and that they will rise again after 3 days. Those are all things that we can find in the Tanakh. And also the biblical concept that we're all sinners. Mm. So what do you do with that? What is your solution to your sin? Is it just good deeds? Well, let's check what the Torah, what the law of Moses says about that. And let's talk about the sacrifices. Why was there a need of sacrifices? And the temple and the altar and the high priest, where is all that? I mean, that's the system that we're supposed to have to eliminate the problem that we have that separates us from God, which is sin. Well, all that doesn't exist today. What does exist is the blood of the Messiah, the Jewish Messiah, Yeshua.
And have you seen the light go on with Jewish people as you have shared these things with them?
Oh, definitely.
And so you see, as you share the gospel in Israel, you actually were seeing Israeli people coming to faith. You can say over I'm not talking about 10,000 a day, but you'd sit with a Jewish person and show them the scriptures and see them genuinely born again, and the light would go on, and they become followers of Jesus.
Yes, I do. Definitely, I did. And it's going on even as we speak. We're reaching out to people. And we're trying to, you know, people that are showing interest in that, and we're trying to have those meetings with them and those discussions with them. And one thing I do know about Jewish evangelism, at least at that point of time, is that we need to reach the masses in order to get some. It's not like if you go to speak to 10 people, then you get an interest. Maybe you will not have even one. That's why I strongly believe that we need to reach the masses, which in today's methods would be the internet, to reach as many people as you can. Then you will get a significant number of people that you can meet one-on-one and really disciple.
So get the message out to as many as possible. Throw the net out wide. Pray, get the mind of God, come up with a good strategy. And then when people respond and are interested, then you follow up. And you've been doing that with one of my friends in Jewish ministry the last few weeks in Israel with an outreach campaign. How many unique visitors have come to the website in the last, 2.5 weeks?
Over 10,000 people. About 500 returned to the website again. Over 60 ordered the book. About 20 gave their telephone numbers or so. So, as I said, we need to, you know, to throw the net, you know, as far as we can, to reach as many potential open seekers as we can. But when we do that, we do reach a significant amount of people in Israel today, Jewish people, that are truly, sincerely interested to hear more, to read more, and to consider whether Yeshua is or isn't he the Jewish Messiah.
Right, and that's what we want to do. Isaiah 1, L'chuv v'nivachecha yachdav, come and let's reason together. That's a verse we always love to put out there. The Holy Spirit works. Sometimes he dramatically saves someone through a simple preached message, but often you sit and talk and open the scripture, pray, dialogue together. Hey, friends, one of the exciting projects right now we're working on is getting the real kosher Jesus translated into Hebrew. And I want to invite you to be part of what we're doing, to partner with us, to give you an outlet. To help you reach Jewish people through the gospel, through us. Become a torchbearer, supporting us with at least $25 or more per month. Not only will you receive a new message from us, a new audio message every month, sometimes it'll be a DVD, you'll also get a discount in our online bookstore and free access to our online classes. But today, if you join us today as a torchbearer, I'm going to send you, it's a collector's item edition. It is a hardcover, numbered, signed copy of the real kosher Jesus. This is a numbered copy from our first printing of the hardcovers. 1-800-278-9978. You'll be sharing in the reward with us, sharing in this radio broadcast 5 days a week as you support us. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, that's 1-800-278-9978. Or just go to askdrbrown.org. Click on support. I know many of you don't get to hear Thoroughly Jewish Thursday on the Line of Fire, so this is a special broadcast, some wonderful testimonies from a dear Israeli brother on this Tuesday, right here on the Line of Fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, it is Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, and I have a special guest in the studio with me, Ze'ev Nivo. We got to know each other personally when he was working with Jews for Jesus in Israel. He's an Israeli believer. His dad, who had escaped the Holocaust at the age of 12, but the rest of his family, mom, dad, and two siblings, an older and younger sibling, died all in Auschwitz. Ze'ev came to faith. Years later, his dad received from Ze'ev volume one of my series, Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus. He was so interested. Got volume two to him, and then on his 80th birthday, Ze'ev gave him volumes three and four, and amazingly, his dad, who was a very intelligent, thoughtful man, said it couldn't have been a better gift for him to receive. And Ze'ev contacted me about talking with his dad directly. His dad came to faith, died in the Lord, and so there's a special bond that we have. Plus, Ze'ev has been a great help in getting our materials out in Hebrew, soon in Russian, to more effectively reach Jewish people with the gospel. If you have a question for me or for my guest, Ze'ev Nivo, 866-348-7884. If you want to challenge anything we have to say, if you're a Jewish person wondering about what we have to say, or just have a general Jewish-related question, 866-34-TRUTH. And Ze'ev is the president of Israel Media Ministries. I'm looking at the beautiful website, israelmediaministries.org. Visit there, find out what Ze'ev is doing. Sign up for his newsletter, Maximizing Jewish Evangelism in Israel and Worldwide. That's what this ministry is given to. Ze'ev, great having you on the air today. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Shalom.
All right. Before I go to the phones and before we get to the subject of your mom coming to faith, okay, you're an Israeli, you grew up speaking Hebrew, you've been involved in Jewish ministry for years. I'm Jewish, got my PhD in Semitic languages, studied these things for years. Okay, so in a sense, we're specialists. Does it take a specialist to win a Jewish person to the Lord? Did you have to be like really educated and know Hebrew fluently?
No, not at all. I think definitely God can use people like you and I or anyone. But the point is, you know, in Scripture it says that when we are weak, He is strong. So definitely God gets all the glory anyway. But, you know, even in a more apparent way, it's more obvious when we are not, we don't really know what we're doing so well. But somehow God works through us, you know, and then He, you know, it's so obvious. I mean, He does the job anyway. Yeah, we're just, yeah. In, you know.
So the Holy Spirit really doing the work, and you step back and recognize it's the Holy Spirit doing the work. And I was led to the Lord by Gentile friends and by older Gentile believers who prayed for me. And when I say Gentile, it's nothing derogatory, just people of the nations. And as we'll hear in a moment about your mom, was it a highly educated Israeli Jewish woman that God used to help lead her to the Lord?
And no, she wasn't. She actually didn't know a word in Hebrew. Well, maybe she didn't know a word or two, but that was it. You know, she hardly spoke English. The lady was actually from Sri Lanka, and she used to be a Buddhist until 1996 when God
really
saved her and her entire family in Sri Lanka. And then God took her from Sri Lanka and placed her in my mother's little apartment in Haifa, Israel.
Wow.
To help her, you know, living with her when she is battling cancer. And just the presence of this spirit-filled Christian, born-again Christian from Sri Lanka, and just saying, God bless you, good night, God bless you, praising the Lord in her own language in the little apartment, and just that, just the joy on her face, and just saying whatever she could, you know, being very limited. God used that in a major way.
Amazing. All right, friends, we come back. I want to take your calls, and then get to the rest of the story of Ze'ev's mom coming to faith in Israel. Friends, God can use you to reach Jewish people. He can use you. Yes, He can. I know many of you don't get to hear Thoroughly Jewish Thursday on the Line of Fire, so this is a special broadcast, some wonderful testimonies from a dear Israeli brother on this Tuesday, right here on the Line of Fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the broadcast, 866-348-7884, on this Thoroughly Jewish Thursday with my guest, Ze'ev Nevo, an Israeli follower of Jesus, an evangelist to the Jewish people, president of Israel Media Ministries. Again, I encourage you to visit his website, israelmediaministries.org. Sign up for his newsletter. Ze'ev, before we get back to the story of your mom coming to faith, just want to take a call, and during the break, you mentioned it's just 2.5 months ago that she went to be with the Lord and died, final stages of cancer. You were there with her. I didn't realize it was that recent. So all the more, this is something precious to be able to talk about his own mom, an older Jewish woman coming to faith. But first, to the phones, Adele in Charlotte, right here in North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me on the program. I'm, excuse me, Zev, my condolences on your mother's passing, but my rejoicing that she's with Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, I love what you said about having a gentle, respectful, compassionate, loving, caring, you know, all these things that come through our eyes from the Lord Jesus toward anyone that we talk to about salvation. I love that you say that, and because, especially how this lady just gently worked with your mother, just loving her. I have discovered in my neighborhood, which I'm new, that I have to lay a foundation before I can really talk about the Lord.
Yeah, it's the truth with any of us. Yeah. I mean, obviously, sometimes you can just find somebody, and they're open, and you talk to them, and they come to faith right on the spot. But otherwise, these are life and death issues. We need to earn people's trust and show genuine love towards them. Adele, did you have a question for Ze'ev or for me?
I did. I do have some Jewish background. My grandfather, we don't know what happened to him, but he was Jewish. A German Jew. I wanted to know two little things. One is about, I've always had a wonderment about when they're at the Wailing Wall, they rock back and forth, and I never do understand that. I've never seen it in Scripture anywhere. And the other question that I had was about the word day in Genesis chapter 1, because my brother is struggling with committing to Christ, and he's 60, and you can appreciate that. So this is one of the things that, you know, he wanted to debate about, which I didn't because it's secondary, but I want to know for my own interest.
Right, okay. Yeah, Adele, thank you for the questions and, of course, for the kind words for Ze'ev. The Hebrew word for day just means day. Yom means day. In English, the same as Hebrew. It does not have to refer to a 24-hour day any more than the English word has to. You know, we can talk about day and night. So we're talking about the light part of 24 hours versus the dark part, and yet we call it day. We talk about the day of the Lord. That can be a period of time. So the Hebrew word for day is no different than the English word for day in terms of precise meaning. It can be used in various ways. And you cannot determine the issue of the length of creation in Genesis 1 based on the Hebrew word for day any more than you could if the English word for day was used there. As for the custom of praying, religious Jews davening, Ze'ev, that's not just at the wall, though. That's the way religious Jews pray all the time.
That's right.
Right. Exactly how the custom developed is somewhat debated. There is an aspect, though, because of length of time, they also study like that. If you go into a yeshiva, place of rabbinic learning, you'll see the men sitting and rocking in the chairs. There are different explanations for it. Part of it could just be a way to keep your focus in the midst of long hours of praying and long hours of study, just a way to keep focus. But there are times in the prayer where you actually bow forward, where the prayers say, I bow down before you, O Lord. And you'll see religious Jewish men then bowing down slowly. But the rocking back and forth does not have religious significance as much as it is a habit that's been developed. And your average Jew is not thinking I'm doing something spiritual by rocking. It's just part of what they do. And you don't learn to do it. You just do it because everybody else is doing it. But thank you for asking. So, Zev, your dad comes to faith, 80 years old, escaped the Holocaust at the age of 12. The rest of his family perishes in Auschwitz. He had a hard time with you coming to faith, actually cried over it, which was a very rare thing to see him do. But you told him, hey, Dad, I will never do anything to abandon my Jewishness. I'll always be Jewish. Then he comes to faith. What happened to your mom at that point? Now her son is a believer, and you said she didn't care much because she was atheistic. Now her husband is telling her he believes the gospel is true. What happened to your mom?
Well, nothing for a long period, and I was very surprised. I thought the minute my father will come to faith, he grew up as a religious Jewish man, and she didn't. So, and he knew the Bible, you know, very well. So if he's a believer now, I assumed that she would become a believer immediately, but she didn't. And actually, she said something very interesting to me at one point. You know, I have one sister. So at that point of time, I was a believer. My dad is a believer, but my sister isn't. And my sister is a very, 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 very good person. Really, she is. You know, she's not religious, but she's so giving. And it just, I wish I could have been like her, to be honest. But in a sense, that's an obstacle because she's so good and she's secular, though. So my mother, a thought came into her mind. She said, well, if I believe in that, then I will be separated from your sister for eternity. And she said, I will never do anything that will separate me from your sister. And then I said to her, well, Mom, so what are you saying? So you're saying that you're okay with being separated from me and from my dad? That's kind of a strange conversation.
Yeah.
But then she said, well, that's a decision that you made. I said, listen, it's not like you can just sit on the fence. You make a decision anyway. If you don't make a decision,
You've made a decision. Yeah.
And it took some time for that truth to get her attention. But for a while, it seems like I was talking to a wall, really.
All right. So what changed? Now she's, what, 80, 81? She's now sick. She has cancer. Did she express any openness, even any thought of God? I'm coming to the end of my life. Is there an afterlife? Is there a God? Is there a heaven? Did she wonder about any of these things?
It was funny enough, but she did believe in eternity. She didn't believe that you just die and that's it, like many Jewish people believe. She, for some reason, believed in eternity.
Really?
She was fascinated by the stars and creation and the moon.
That's interesting.
And she saw eternity in creation, in a sense. So she did believe that. Now, the interesting thing that after my dad passed away, you know, it was very hard for her all the last few years, and then the burial and everything. And all of a sudden, she's alone in her little apartment, and that's it. That's all, everything that she had. She didn't have him anymore. So she started to speak with him every day, with my dad. And she told me that she's speaking to my dad. And I said to her, Mom, by the way, her name was Ruth. I said to him, Mommy, like, do you have the faith that when you speak to my dad, he hears you? And she said, yes. I said, well, he's dead, you know, we just buried him. And you have the faith to speak with him, even though that you know that he's dead? And she said, yes. I said, well, if you have the faith for that, why don't you take that same faith and speak to God? I mean, if Abba, my dad is, hears you, obviously God hears you and God is alive. So just speak to him and just tell him, you know, you know what, God, I just told her, you know, I don't believe in it. For a while she said, I cannot tell you or God that I believe in Yeshua because that will be a lie and that will be sin. So I told her, you know what, that's fair enough. Just speak to him just like you have the faith to speak to my dad and ask him to show you. I mean, if it's true that Yeshua is the Messiah, show me somehow and he will show you. And I told her, just like with the prodigal son, The moment that he turned and started to walk towards the father ran to him and, you know, and hugged him. And then I, a few tears came out when I was telling that to her. And she held my hand and she almost cried. And she promised me that she will ask that.
Wow.
That, God. And then she did. And then she didn't hear anything from God. I mean, no response. No response to that. So I was a little discouraged for a while. But then God really started to use that gentle, wonderful, gentle woman from Sri Lanka.
So a woman from Sri Lanka, former Buddhist, comes in as a caregiver.
Yes.
For your mom. Your mom does not speak English?
My mom speaks English.
But okay, but this, they didn't have a lot of ways to communicate.
No, broken English.
Broken English. All right. And God helps use this caregiver, this Christian woman from Sri Lanka, full of Jesus, to bring Zev's mom to the Lord. We'll finish the story when we come back. I know many of you don't get to hear Thoroughly Jewish Thursday on the Line of Fire, so this is a special broadcast, some wonderful testimonies from a dear Israeli brother on this Tuesday, right here on the Line of Fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
My guest, all for almost 2 hours now on Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, has been Ze'ev Nevo. He's the president of Israel Media Ministries. So go to the website, israelmediaministries.org. Check out what he's doing. Sign up for his newsletter. Check out some of the pictures that'll greet you right there on the homepage that'll speak to you about Jewish salvation. Zev, before the break, we were talking about your mom. She's now sick with cancer. She's heard the gospel. She's watched her son come to faith. She's watched her husband come to faith. She's now agreed to pray to God, even though she was raised and was atheistic herself. She's going to do that. And then a caregiver comes from Sri Lanka, former Buddhist, now a Christian, full of Jesus, full of the Spirit. Your mom sees something in this woman. What was the impact on her?
It was tremendous. First of all, she knew that I was praying that God will bring a born-again believer to be with her, because before she had another caregiver, which was like Hindu. So just the fact that she came, and the first time that we met that lady, I was there with my wife and kids, and the instant love that we had, and we hugged, you know, we just met in front of my mom's eyes, and the love that we have in Jesus, you know, I think that was a tremendous testimony. And it wasn't fake. It was so real,
yeah,
obviously. So that was one. And then every night before my mom went to, when she put my mom to sleep, she told her every night, God bless you.
Mm.
So, and then one day I'm on the phone with my mom and she's telling me, you know, every night before, her name was Nirmala, she's putting me to sleep, she's saying, God bless you. And then I answer her in English, and my mother, you know, she doesn't really speak English that well, but she's saying, my mother is answering, God bless you, praise the Lord. And my mother is telling me this with a smile. I hear on the phone, I said, wow, mom, wow, that's amazing. I mean, what can I ask you, when you say praise the Lord, what do you mean? Who's the Lord? So she's telling me, God. Now I obviously wanted, I mean, that's true, but yes, I obviously wanted to hear Yeshua. So she heard the disappointment in my voice. You know how it is with mothers, that they hear everything, even if you don't express it. So then she's telling me, well, I know what you're thinking. You wanted me to say Yeshua. But that's the same. I mean, Yeshua is God. God is Yeshua. That's the same.
Are you serious?
Yes. So I was like, it was just an amazing moment. I mean, and since then we had conversations, and she even pointed out 3 points why she is a believer. While at the same time she's saying to me, I cannot even believe that I believe.
Wow.
She just couldn't.
I love that line. I can't even believe that I believe.
Because she was so much against that.
Yeah.
And so you know, it says in scripture that even the faith is a gift from God. So to me, it's just like God reached out from heaven and just placed that gift of faith in our heart.
Yeah.
Obviously, because we were sowing seeds and the prayers that I asked so many people, you know, so many Gentiles friends that I have to pray for my mom's salvation for years. So obviously all that took part. But it, from my mom's perspective, she said 3 points why I believe that I came to faith. Only three things I can think about. Number one, she said, because of all, she was talking to me, all of your prayers and tears. Mm. I mentioned some tears before.
Yeah, yeah.
God heard your prayers and saw your tears.
Wow.
Number two, because of Nirmala.
Really?
Yeah. And number three, because of her older age. That their old age, you start to think more about, you know, what's going to happen when I die. Whatever the reason is, you know, bottom line, I just buried my mom like 2.5 months ago. But I'm rejoicing in the fact that she's with the Lord, yeah, with my dad.
Who can imagine that?
Who can imagine that just a few years ago?
Yeah, just a few years ago, your dad, all of his family lost in Auschwitz, and he's a thinking man, raised religious, but not a believer. He comes to clear, decided faith in Yeshua, even shares the gospel with your mom. And then your mom, who had no faith at all, God works in her life, and she could even give you the reasons why she believes.
Yes.
How extraordinary. And God uses a Gentile from Sri Lanka, a former Buddhist, who can't speak Hebrew, is not an expert apologist, can't debate the rabbis, but she's full of Jesus, full of the Spirit, and God uses her to make a massive difference in her life. Friends, I wish this was TV right now, and you could see the smile on Zev's face, but hopefully you can hear it in our voices. And just give a word, just got a minute, a word of encouragement to our listeners, Gentile listeners in particular, that God can use them to reach Jewish people with the gospel.
For me? Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. I mean, it's not the first story that I hear. You know, so many Israelis, Jewish people, they come to faith because of Gentile believers, you know, that share the faith with them in a loving way.
Yeah.
Again, you don't need to be an expert. Yes, you may learn a few things, what it's better to say or not to say, just like we mentioned crusade. It's not the best word. Yeah, you can know a few of those things. But the bottom line, it's if you just allow God to work through you,
yeah,
in that matter, and he will.
Yeah, friends, visit Zev's website, IsraelMediaMinistries.org. It's one word, IsraelMediaMinistries.org. We've also got it linked on my website, AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Sign up for his newsletter and pray for the work there. And I want to invite you, friends, to partner with me in reaching Jewish people with the gospel. Come on together. We can make a difference. And there's so much we desire to do. And with more funding and more help, we can do it. We can bring on more folks to be teaming with us and making a difference in Jewish lives. To become a monthly supporter, that means standing with us for at least $25 or more per month, being a torchbearer, helping us carry the flame of fire together. Call 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Or just go online, AskDrBrown.org, click on support. Our torchbearers receive a new message every month, a new audio message from me every month. You'll also get access to our online classes for free. You'll get 15% off in our bookstore. So just ways, we're just trying to say thank you and sow back into you in ways that we can. If you become a torchbearer today, we have a few left of these collector item, first edition of The Real Kosher Jesus in hardcover. A numbered copy. That's how we had the first ones printed. We had a calligrapher number them. I'll sign it for you for your standing with us as a torchbearer today. Again, 1-800-278-9978. And for those that would love to stand with us or just want to take advantage of our resources and don't feel led to or can't make a monthly commitment, take advantage of today's special resource offer, my book, The Real Kosher Jesus, the paperback version, beautiful edition of the book, together with the two-hour interview with Zev Nevo, just wonderful, edifying, encouraging stuff, and a two-hour DVD debate with Rabbi Shmuley, moderated by Sid Roth. All these resources together, just $25 postage paid. So it's a great deal. More importantly, great resources for you. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. 9978. My bottom line today, I think of Luke 15. There is joy in the presence of the angels in heaven when one sinner repents. I wonder if there's some special Jewish joy when it's a Jewish sinner that repents.